Blog Talk Radio.
You ever kill anybody?
Are you kidding? I went to Princeton to avoid all that shit.
What am I doing here, man?
John, have you ever seen a crack baby? Newborn crack baby, 6 hours old, screaming its heart out because it's going through withdrawal. You know, over the course of the next year, it doesn't learn to crawl or walk or talk on time. It's got deformities. Physical deformities, mental deformities. It's got brain damage, lowered IQ, dyslexia, God only knows what else. Maybe it goes to school, but it can't learn. And it's violent, so it gets in trouble with the law. It's unable to form any kind of close emotional ties, so it's faced with the prospect of going through this hideous, miserable life completely alone. And there are millions of these babies, John. There's a whole generation of your people who are being destroyed before they are even born. Because these guys, Barbosa, Gallegos, Guzman, are bringing that shit into this country. Now, do you remember what you're doing here?
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man. What is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funkin' lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a logger.
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Diva, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
September 19th, 2012. Folks, welcome to yet another edition, funky, fiery, and special edition. It's always special. Of AfroNerd featuring Captain Kirk, the midweek in review edition of AfroNerd Radio. Folks, we have a lot to get into. It's a 90-minute special. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. It appears that Governor Romney's campaign is in a tailspin, just swirling out of the sky, and is about to hit the ground at any moment. Things can change in about 7 weeks. Things can change. But I see a lot of doom and gloom for the dear governor. But we're going to talk about that and a lot more. Folks, and also, Prince has an afro, incidentally. My boy Prince went back to his roots, literally. So we're going to talk about that. Maybe that's an omen. When Prince got his afro, things started to change. I'm just saying. All right, folks, let's just get into it. Giving you the best of progressive hip-hop, urban alternative, afro-punk, black rock, acid jazz, everything that is good that conventional radio refuses to play, we will play here at Afro Radio. This is Nas, iconic lyricist Nas, and a special guest, Aaron Hall. I haven't heard from him in a while. This is Bye Baby. We'll be back in a few moments. Let's groove.
I guess you knew it blew a good thing, baby.
Bye, baby. I guess you know why I walked away. When we walked to the altar, that was an awesome day. Did counseling, couldn't force me to stay. Something happened when you say I do, we go astray. Why did we mess it up? We was friends, we had it all. Reason you don't trust men, that was your daddy fault. He in the grave, let it go, he no longer living. Said you caught him cheating with mom and other women. Fuck, they gotta do with us. Here's the keys to the newest truck. Birkin bags, we burning cash. Now baby, do it up. No matter who you fuck, that was before me. Wanted you as my shorty since I saw you screaming. Hate you so much right now. Should've saw the meaning. Angry black women, ashes of a demon. I'm leaving. Baby, I guess you know why I had to leave. 7 months in your pregnancy, about to have my seed. Let's take it back some years, rewind it to the happy years. You and your Star Trek fam, I'm thinking you cats are weird. Same time, different, yeah. I was digging y'all flow. Then I tatted you on my arm so niggas would know. I thought no one could stop us. Matching gold watches, I was your Johnny Depp. You was my Janis Joplin, yet the cuter version. Yet I knew you personally better than you knew yourself. And I know it's for certain, Cribbin and Dominican. We got away from everybody. You screaming at the racist cops in Miami was probably the highlight of my life. Like, hi, yo, look at my wife, gangster. Me and 20 cops about to fight, crazy night. Bailed you out next morning, we got clean. Like it never happened, and later we at that heat game. Just another day in the life of two people in love. But it wasn't enough, so baby, guess what?
All right. Okay. Enough of that. Again, that was Nas, Bye Baby, featuring Aaron Hall. I haven't heard from him in a while. It looks like now that R. Kelly, I can never really say R. Kelly's star has dimmed. He's kind of he is a talented fellow, even though I'm not necessarily a R. Kelly fan. He's got some issues. He's got some issues. However, Aaron Hall, you know, for those who know the history, it seemed as if once R. Kelly came on the scene, he somewhat took Aaron Hall's game. And Aaron Hall is a phenomenal singer, so it's good to see him alive and back in the fold. Again, that song, Bye Baby, from the latest Nas LP. Well, they don't really have the LPs anymore, do they? The latest MP3 file. Life is Good. Life is Good is the actual name of that album. All right, folks, again, after featuring Captain Kirk. And speaking of the Captain, it looks like Governor Romney needs your help. We might have to beam you to his campaign headquarters. Captain, Romney needs you. Let's get to it.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
It's good to be needed in this part of the Megaverse. It's good to be needed. Romney, we're here to help you. We have open hands for you. We're here to help you. We're here to give you some deportment. You understand? Some, you know. We'll give you what you need, Robbie. We'll give you what you need. Let's get it started, sir.
How would you help this gentleman? I mean, listen, the Democrats are very reluctant to do some kind of winning lap. To make a winning lap, or you know, do some kind of winning, you know, pre-winning thing. But because listen, we still got about 6 or 7 weeks before this thing finally wraps itself up. I'm not even looking forward to the debates. At one point, I was, I've already pretty much written this guy off. I believe that I think Obama is up maybe by 8 points nationally, and this is happening before what has happened with this Boca Raton, Florida admission, you know, when he's at the this fundraiser, and he talked about the 47%. See, now that whole thing, 47%. I was just getting used to 1% and 99%. Now they come up with 47%. That is being emblazoned, Captain. Liberal media is not giving this up. Before we went on air, before this broadcast, as I always do, I listen to other radio shows. I'm listening, and everybody, it's like it is nonstop. They are bludgeoning this story. It just won't let it go. Your thoughts?
Well, as I said months ago, I thought it was highly unlikely that Romney is going to win the presidency. There's always a possibility that he can win, and I put that out there. You could check in the archives. You know, we like when you go back in the archives so people can go check in the archives, and you've heard me put it out there on record that I felt Obama was going to win the presidency. You know, that's just what I felt from the beginning. That's just what it is, and I hold to that. Now, don't get me wrong, there's always a possibility that Romney can win, but I doubt it. I doubt it. And right about now, if this was a trench-digging race, the earth is still soft or hard, depending on where you're digging your trench, your ditch for your grave for Obama. But Romney is about 3 feet in. And we know once you get to 6 feet, you might as well just drop the coffin in. So he still has some way to go, but he's halfway there. He's digging a ditch. That's where he is essentially at this given time. From my perspective, he's not doing well right now. And once you get going to the debate factor, he's not as good a speaker as Mr. Obama. So the only thing he can come back and forth with, he has to keep it very nebulous, vague, and just stick to the economy and talk about jobs and talk about that sort of thing, talk about the oil prices, and he'll bring them down. He can bring them down, and maybe he can do well. But if he starts going all over the place, he's going to be torn apart and ripped to shreds. Any missteps that he makes will be torn to shreds by Mr. Obama himself. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yeah, you know, we're going to get into this in a moment. I just couldn't help myself from really getting into it early. What I meant to say was about the whole victory lap thing, that there's a victory lap that you almost get the sense that the Democrats really want to get into. And, you know, behind the scenes, I used the analogy shark, and you corrected me and stated correctly. It's less about the Democrats treating this situation as if they were sharks. It's more about being piranhas, because there's so many different media outlets that have a center or progressive slant that – You can see the feeding frenzy, where you can liken it to piranhas in a tank regarding this issue with the infamous behind-the-scenes fundraiser that Governor Romney participated in. And he spoke off the cuff using this whole thing about 47% of the populace, of the American populace, just be damned. They're not going to vote for me. Who cares about them? I'm going to concentrate on the other folk. You really, if you're going to be presidential, there is, and here we go with our favorite words, if the audience hasn't guessed, either deportment or comportment. You really do have to have a certain presidential comportment to do this. And you see it very clear. And you see very clear, you know, when during Barack Obama's speech a few weeks ago at the DNC, it's amazing how a person can say something, getting into a certain phraseology. And he simply said, "I am the president." Now, it seems that could be a throwaway term, but it's all about context, how he was being emotive. And he said, "But I am the president." When he said that, you understood that he understood there's a certain responsibility here as the president, a certain level of, what's the magic word, Captain? Comportment. When you see Governor Romney on the national, I shouldn't say national, international stage, He just doesn't have it. We've been cataloging misstep after misstep after misstep. He said something funny about the Palestinian community when he's visiting the Israelis. He said something funny about the Brits. I might have mentioned this on Air Captain when he said something about, well, not even him, it was one of his operatives, said, well, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, but this is what it came out to be, Captain. Well, you know, Mr. Romney is white. Or let me be fair. He said, Mr. Romney is from Anglo-Saxon heritage. You're from Anglo-Saxon heritage. We should get along. You just can't say that. And all due respect to the Brits, they didn't like it. They didn't like it. They made that assumption. You see, you start to see the surface level, dare I say, surface level racism going on there. But that's just one of a number of things. Matter of fact, he was reeling. We've already forgotten. See how quickly the 24-hour news cycle works, Captain? We've already forgotten the fact that he jumped the shark. I'm going into what Sergio Mims somewhat. Jumped the shark when he talked about what happened in Libya. He got the timeline all screwed up. You know, shooting before you're aiming. As Barack Obama said, President Barack Obama, going into the chat room with the friend of the show, Sergio Mims, he says, Romney's campaign jumped the shark this week. It's over. Christie was smart giving his 2016 acceptance speech at the GOP convention last month. Yeah, he's right about that. There was another thing, too. So many speakers at the RNC, so many of them blatantly did not really talk that much about Governor Romney. I mean, you're there to talk about the candidate. You're not there to talk about yourselves. And there was a theme that was going on where many of these politicians were there giving their own personal stump speeches. So I suspect these folks knew something. They knew that he just does not have it. He just doesn't have it. All right, folks, we're going to get into this a little bit deeper, obviously. Again, welcome to Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk, a.k.a. Afternoon Radio. Wednesday's Midweek and Review Edition, the call-in number, don't be scared, 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. I always try to give as much information as I can to our audience, and they seem to enjoy it. You know, I was riffing last Sunday, and I was talking about one of my idols, Adam Clayton Powell Jr., and talk about somebody who has gravitas and pizzazz. I mean, this is one of my heroes, bluntly speaking. And I wanted to get this book, which I received a few days ago. I referenced it on Sunday, and I did get it. The autobiography is called simply, it's been around for quite a while, actually, Adam by Adam. Adam by Adam, the autobiography of Adam Clayton Powell Jr. And I would suggest that our audience really pick this up. You know, I find myself really getting into this kick of going into the past research. I've always had it, but it's really intensified with me, Captain, really exploring history, our own history, picking up some of this anecdotal information, putting it in your brain, downloading it, and uploading it when you need it. There's always a thing, you know, Jorge Santayana, a.k.a. George Santayana, he's the one that coined the phrase, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. And that's exactly what's happening here. If you notice, folks, that this is why I implore and I emphasize, well, I shouldn't say I, sorry, we, the captain and myself, we emphasize scholarship and research. You got to know some things out here. Too many dum-dums. Too many dum-dums, Captain, I'm not comfortable with. The great Gazoo from Flintstones. Too many dum-dums. I'm not comfortable with it. So pick up this book, and actually, you know what? Something else anecdotally, and you sent this to my attention, Captain, actually. I may want you to kind of kick it a little bit on this young man from Texas blowing his money. Can you talk about this for a moment, this meme that's out here?
Okay.
Football player.
We'll get into Vince Young, who was the touted as a great quarterback coming into the league some years ago. It didn't actually pan out for him the way that it was supposed to pan out for him. This sometimes happens. You know, you're great at the college level. Then you get to the pros, you just don't do as well. Well, apparently bouncing around in the league like between five to six years in the league, he somehow squandered, let me repeat that, he somehow seemingly squandered $26 million. Now they're saying that he's broke. They also said that his financial advisors ripped him off $5.5 million they took from him. That's what they're also saying in the article. Now, here's the thing. Okay, maybe that can happen with the $5.5 million. You're a young guy. You don't know what's going on with your money. Okay, that's fine. But how do you lose everything where you're broke and you're worried that, you know, you might be working at a 7-Eleven after being in the league making this kind of money? That's what I don't get. And it seems to be a cultural meme with black and the brown. When they make this money, that they just like to go broke. It just seems to be a cultural meme. You know, if it's not having multiple kids with baby mamas and you're making this money, you know, it's some financial advisor that's taking money, or it's just you squandering, buying 40 cars and pulling an MC Hammer situation, buying a house you really can't afford, and then you have to pay the taxes, and then you have to file bankruptcy so you don't lose everything. It's always this type of thing with us. You know, not to say that there's not white athletes that go through this, but there's less white athletes that are going through it than it is with the black athletes. It's just, you know, it's a meme. It's a meme that seems to happen to us from time to time, and it should not be happening. It should not be happening. What's so hard saying, okay, this year you get paid $5 million, okay, after tax, whatever it is, that is $3 million, let me put $1.5 million away somewhere. And then I do and piss up the rest. Then I do the same thing next year. Then I do the same thing next year. Then I do the same thing next year. When the smoke clears, you turn around, you have a $7 million put down. You can live on that. You can live on that. If you're not going crazy, you can live on that. What's so hard to do? Why do you have to, as soon as the money comes in, you have to go get everything all at once? And then you're waiting on the next check. You know? You know what they say? I remember what they used to say when they used to sign these rap guys to deals. They say, what do you want? You want Rams, right? You want a Benz to park in front of your project building, right? No problem. We'll give it to you. Don't even worry about it. That's what you guys like. And, yeah, you want a couple of girls and a nice big chain. Don't worry about it. Here you go. There's but so much rims. There's but so many cars. There's but so many girls, okay, that you can do, things that you could do. Save some money. That's all I'm saying. Save some money because you're not going to be running up and down on the court forever. It's something that you do in your youth. Then it blows over. Then you have nothing. Then you're looking around for someone to give you a job, which should not be the case. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yeah, I have to say, Captain, that we've seen this DVD before. Matter of fact, I think it's been re-released on Blu-ray by now. We've seen it before. And I don't understand. I just don't understand. Some things are so common. Even, listen, maybe it's because of what we do, where we're constantly feeding ourselves information. I mean, specifically what we're doing now, imparting what we know, imparting information to our audience. So I'm always immersed in information. But just casually, Captain, we see, you know, we can critique Governor Romney for what he's done financially. You can critique it to a certain degree, but you can also admire it. You can learn. This guy has accounts in the Cayman Islands. He has Swiss bank accounts. You know, all kinds of loopholes. I mean, if I were to come into some kind of money to the degree that this young man did, I would be so curious. Even beyond curious, I would be a madman to figure out how would I be able to replicate what Governor Romney has done. And anyone coming into some degree of wealth at this point in time should be keenly aware. I mean, I don't understand when you hear people like Lauryn Hill, who may be doing time. You know, she's got a $3 million bill over her head, IRS bill, for understanding. You have folks that would be considered wealthy, but they don't seem to have the means or the knowledge to conduct themselves financially like some of these other people have. And again, what you referenced is how much flossing, quote-unquote flossing, do you really need to do? I've seen some of these shows where you see these young men, they get the latest model car, they put so much money into it, the car already looks mint, but then they have to repaint the car, repaint a new car. You know, it just, the whole thing just, you know, it's just crazy. You know, and this garish clothing. You know, what are we doing? This is Elvis. And even Elvis, even through, it has to do with a lower tier mentality, Captain. Elvis had a lower tier mentality. But because of white skin color privilege, he was able, he has an estate. His estate's one of the wealthiest dead celebrity estates that the world has ever seen. I believe Graceland is number two as far as the most visited residents in the United States. Obviously, number one would be the White House. Number two is Elvis. And if there were some intelligence there, you would see Michael Jackson's house, Neverland, should be number one, actually. I would go to see Neverland. And I wasn't even the biggest, you know, I'm a Prince supporter. I'm not an MJ supporter, but I would want to see Neverland in my lifetime. I would want to see it. And that financial situation, which is reaping millions going into billions, the family will not receive that money, or they're making it very difficult. The attorneys will, but the family will not. Folks, we've got to change this. We've got to change this, as we said, meme or trope. It's a trope. It's a existential DVD that we keep on putting into the player. And it's on Blu-ray now. We keep on playing the same. We've seen it before. We've seen TLC. They have no money. You know what I mean? You referenced some folks. Who doesn't know? Tony Braxton went through this. When you mentioned this story with this young man, here we go again. He's not writing his own checks. You deserve not to have your money. You don't write your own checks. If you don't write your own checks, it's not your money, is it?
You know who said it best?
It's embarrassing, Cat. It's embarrassing.
EPMD, Parrish Smith. He says, go pay your own mortgage because your accountant might not pay it. He said, that's what happens to a lot of these guys that came into the business. Parrish Smith from EPMD, he said that years ago. He said, that's the difference. He said, your mortgage, you could write that own check. You could do that yourself. He said, but what happens a lot of times, these guys go on tour, they come back. Meanwhile, they haven't paid a mortgage in the last 90 days. And they come back, and they have foreclosure set up and everything, getting ready to go into foreclosure. And they say, how did it happen? Because you didn't pay it. You didn't do it. What my accountant was supposed to do. Well, obviously your accountant didn't do it. And who knows what else your accountant is not doing.
I really don't have any sympathy for this kind of stuff, Captain. I'm out. You know, what was that line? I think I might even have had it on our rotation. It was a line that Jack Nicholson said, as good as it gets was the film. He said something about crazy doesn't live here. Go away. Crazy doesn't live here anymore. I mean, you know, I think I had it one time. If not, I'm going to have to upload it again. But it was so funny. I don't have it in me to feel sorry. I'm done with this. I mean, you know, the DVD's been out for 20, 30 years now. We're still having other people write your checks in 2012. I mean, come on. Please. Going into the chat room, we're going to go to a musical break, but it says, Sergio once again says, I'm sorry, this is making me laugh about Vince Young. I mean, really. And then he says, there's an ESPN documentary coming out this month, he says, called Broke, that deals with this very issue. I'll check it out of curiosity. You know what? My friend Jeremy Lin is not going to be broke. I don't see it. He's going to have about $30 million, hopefully, in about 5 years or more, actually, because of the endorsement deals, the sponsorships. And he has a degree in economics from Harvard. I'd be hard-pressed to believe he couldn't even He couldn't lose his money even if he tried with that pedigree. I just don't see it. I don't see him. He doesn't seem like the type's going to floss around and act foolish buying gaudy gold chains platinum chains. I had to update it for the 2012. Platinum chains foolishness. Burning money like our friend Floyd Mayweather. Burning money. Now, come on. Zuckerberg, who's worth billions, Captain, is not burning money. You're worth a few million. You know, listen, he's got some money. You know, but if the man that has billions isn't burning money, why are you? All right. Enough. This gets me a little hot around the collar, Captain. All right. I want to talk about, actually, his royal badness, about his natural do. But before that, he's actually has a new song that was released to the radio. It's called R&R Affair, R&R Affair, by Prince. We'll be back in a few moments. It's Groove.
This is the iHeartRadio world premiere of Prince's new single, R&R Affair, on WVAZ Oak Park, Chicago. Today's R&B and old school, V103.
From his stereo, he believed in rock and roll. She left her past and those lily white fences and headed out to Hollywood in search of a soul. But she had to pay the toll. Yes, she did. They were bound to find each other. He needed proof. She needed a brother. That's when stars collide. When there's space for what you want and your heart is open wide. Wait a minute. He gave up women for the strikes of the road and learned the meaning of grace. That's when his cup overflowed. And she said, my faith keeps me from willing, but you know that I'm able. And if there's some room, I'd like to sit at your table. She said, it's tight. I think I can fit you in. This kind of love don't come from a prayer. Ain't talking rebound, born of despair. Yellow sun rising on their bodies in bed. Two people in love. It's nothing but the road ahead. Oh, yeah. Oh, all right.
my God, it's Florence from the Jeffersons arriving to the View yesterday.
I have my quiet moments.
When did Flo get so timid? Wait a second, that's not Florence, it's Prince! And he's rocking a Bob Ross fro!
Apparently fros are back in now.
Come on, we all know nothing is in unless Oprah Winfrey does it too. OMG, it's a Tuesday Fro-Down! Oprah Winfrey versus Prince! Who looks more like Angela Davis? Whoever that is.
I got a fro off.
Listen, whatever you gotta do in your spare time. Oh, he means the fro down! Yes! In one corner, we got Winfrey, who's sporting an O-fro for a film she's shooting in Louisiana. While in the other, Prince, who traded his usual Kris Jenner do for a less modern look. Let's let the experts decide.
That's not a recent Oprah.
No, that's Prince.
No, he's showing Oprah.
No, that's Prince. What's wrong with you?
Oh, I couldn't see Oprah. Holy crap.
They all look the same to you, don't they? Okay, so what's the verdict?
He looks like Angela Davis.
I was just thinking of Angela Davis.
And again, no clue. Which means, Black History Lesson! Angela Davis was a radical activist in the 1960s who was a leader in the Communist and Black Panther parties and even ran for vice president on the commie ticket twice. So the winner is Angela Davis! Because we could never pick between Oprah and Prince. Get it? Pick? Like an Afro pick? Oh, Black Power. Thanks, Marla Gibbs!
Power to the people.
All right, folks. going down the line quickly, that was, well, first of all, that was TMZ, a TMZ clip talking about Prince and his Afro, which for some reason is newsworthy. And also the song was Prince, R&R Affair, a brand new song, just released to radio, R&R Affair. I actually kind of dig the song. It reminds me of, what was it from Purple Rain? I Would Die For You. I said, is a hint of I Would Die For You in that melody, if you play close attention to it. All right, anyway, there's something disturbing about the reaction to this musical genius's hairstyle. He was on The View, and actually was there for a very good reason. It's not about his hair. He is involved with a new initiative called Rebuild the Dream. Rebuild the Dream. And actually, he appeared on the show with actress Rosario Dawson and former green energy czar Van Jones. Van Jones is a heavyweight, and I will be the first to say I thought he was wrongly, for the lack of a better word, excommunicated from the Obama administration a few years ago because of one of those videotapes, just like Romney has a past videotape. They had a past videotape on Mr. Jones, and he made some quote-unquote socialist references, you know, or indirect socialist references, and you can't do that and be black. I'm sure Mr. Obama is aware of that. So, they were able to essentially get him out of that position, and he was supposed to be the green czar trying to develop new routes to energy independence. So anyway, he has Prince and Rosario in full effect for this Rebuild the Dream, which I'm sure Mr. Miz might be aware of. It's a series of Chicago concerts where the proceeds are going to go to, middle-class, working-class families dealing with green energy, trying to come up with solutions. So it's what we're supposed to be doing. It's what people tell you to be involved. This Rebuild the Dream is something that's very important. So it's almost like the Gabby Douglas thing all over again, Captain. This man is of iconic talent. One could say that he definitely is eccentric, but his eccentricities feed his music, obviously. But bottom line is we're bypassing this initiative, bypassing his talent, and going right to why is he rocking an Afro? And I saw this in TMZ when I saw the commenters in TMZ. I can't necessarily say the ethnicity of the commenters, but I get the impression they might have been non-black folk, but possibly white people. And 98% of them had a very abrasive and negative reaction to Prince wearing his hair naturally. And I'm looking at this thing and said, how exactly do you downgrade someone for wearing their hair as it comes out of its out of the person's skull? That's how his hair looks. So I'm just kind of curious, like, what is that all about? And actually, on the flip side, when you go to the lower tier ghetto blogs, Bossip, you know the crew. Sergio knows the crew. They had kind of a weird reaction too. They were poking fun, and I'm confused on that, Captain. I mean, aren't we all about being black and embracing our blackness? So here we go, a young man of African descent wearing his hair, and he's a rock star too, so you can kind of get away with that to a certain degree. Lenny Kravitz wore his hair in a natural style for many years, still wears it naturally. So, I mean, what is this exactly? It was very disturbing to see all these people. I don't like it. Well, especially, I would say, more on the TMZ side. How do you not like, or rather, how are you so comfortable? That's like me commenting, I don't like the straightness of that person's hair, if their hair is that way. But imagine me commenting on a person of Asian descent, and I'm actually commenting on their hair, their physical component of their hair. That would be completely outrageous. What are your thoughts on it? What is the big bugaboo with this man wearing his hair naturally?
Well, the modus operandi in the celebrity world is to comment on these things. It happens with other stars. Sometimes when they just cut their hair, TMZ talks about it. Other internet outlets definitely talk about it. It's what they do. Any changes that stars make, they do comment on it. Now, the problem that I have is what we call the lower tier people commenting in the manner that they were commenting. It's a nice change, in my opinion, and this is all it is. It's just an opinion. It's nice for someone such as Prince to switch it up from time to time. It's a good look. I think the look that he has now, it makes him look a little older than we used to see him. With the straight hair look that he had, he appears, even though he's in his 50s, he appeared like around 37, 38. Now with this look, he looks like he's in his 40s. He still doesn't look his age. You know, whatever he's doing, it's definitely working magically. But I think it's a good look. It's a good look. It's a nice change of pace. And again, as you said, it is his hair. But that is the modus operandi that TMZ and other celebrity, mags, or some people might say garb, that's what they do. You know, they talk about any type of changes that they do. If a celebrity bulks up, they talk about it. The celebrity cuts their hair. If they dye their hair, they talk about it. So that's just what it is. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yeah, I agree with you to a certain degree, but I think there's something more going here. We're going to go to another topic. We have a lot to discuss this evening, but I just think that there's something there is or has been this complaint about black hair making folks uncomfortable. There is an aspect of it. You know, if it's, I don't know, untamed. I mean, I do believe that everyone should be responsible for a certain level of grooming. It actually was well coiffed and groomed. It just was an afro, and when he first came into the game, he wore an afro. Like many artists went through, many black artists went through phases where they changed hairstyles. Especially, an artist that came out from the late 70s, early 80s. He came out as an artist in the late 70s. And everyone, many folk were still coming back, coming out of the Black Power movement and that kind of thing. And I've been saying this actually since the inception of this show, that we need another Black Power movement or Black is Beautiful movement. We need that. We need another movement. We're talking about cultural shift. That's what I would like to see, that we have to kind of reaffirm a certain black cultural standard that I don't see anymore. I don't see any real references to black pride. You're not getting it in the music, which is something you would get directly or indirectly many years ago. Now that you have a man of color in the White House, a black family in the White House, and a whole lot of other things to beat your chest about, the music seems to obfuscate that. And it's all about the minstrel. Well, we talk about this every week, but I can't help it. It's all about the minstrel. There's no reference to black pride at all, as if it's non-existent. And then we want to know why some of our folk are losing money, out of control, acting aberrant, you know, all kinds of things. All right, be that as it may, kind of move along. I appreciate the afro, personally. I'll just put it out there. I thought it was a pretty cool look. All right, you got to talk about Romney, Governor Romney, and his 47% remark. This dates back a couple of months ago, actually, when he was at a fundraiser in Boca Raton, Florida, and he was speaking to some heavyweight, wealthy, quote-unquote, muckety-mucks, and he went to this whole diatribe about who is ultimately going to vote for him. And he said something to the effect, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, again, talking about Mitt Romney, that 47 or 48% of the nation's voting populace is just not going to support him because, in his words, they are in Obama's pocket. And Mr. Obama is subsidizing these folk, subsidizing tax cheats. And he went into a whole thing that, you know, the media are jumping on this, essentially insulting, one could say, you know, that they're victims. And I use the term victimology and victimization as well. But I don't say half the country is that. I don't say that because some of the folk that he is referencing, A, are actually people that would vote for him. These are retirees, white retirees. These are veterans. These are college students. These are disabled folk. These are the underemployed as well as the unemployed. So he put a whole bunch of folk under the bus. And if he had parsed his words, and he said he had said it inartfully. I wouldn't even say he had said it inartfully. I think he's just not correct about it. I think we could talk about figures, but who really constitutes being a quote-unquote bum, I suspect would be maybe 10% of the population, or the voting population. Let's say 20 even. Let's say 20. But you can't say damn near 50% of the voting public are tax cheats and vagabonds. That's someone who wants to implode. All right, couple of clips, folks. One, well, actually both are from the Young Turks. Progressive outfit. The captains are independent. I have more of a conservative bent. But I believe in the truth as well. And whether they might be a progressive outfit, it is what it is. It is what it is. So let's play this clip, the first clip from Cenk Ungar, who I believe is with Current TV as well as his own outfit, the Young Turks, on YouTube, courtesy of YouTube. This is part one of him breaking apart this whole Romney tailspin, 47%. Hold on, folks.
The reality is a lot of those people pay taxes anyway. They're not paying income tax, but they're paying local tax, they're paying sales tax, and they're paying the payroll tax. In fact, in that group of 47%, 61% of them pay a payroll tax. So they are, in fact, employed. They're not bums. They're not lazy. They're not looking for a government handout. They're paying a payroll tax because they got a job. In fact, if you include the employer side of the payroll tax, and if the employer didn't have to pay that his side of the payroll tax, he can give you more money. He can give you a higher salary. So if you look at the whole payroll tax, it's actually 15.3% of your income. Now, I remember a guy who doesn't quite pay that much. Anybody remember who that is? Well, let's roll a videotape and find out.
For the past 10 years, I never paid less than 13%. I think the most recent year is 13.6 or something like that. So I've paid taxes every single year.
Interesting. So the payroll tax, which he considers nothing at all, is actually 15% when you take the employee and employer side. Mitt Romney only pays 13% in taxes. Who's the bum now? Who's the guy who feels entitled now? In fact, here's another clip from that famous gathering in Boca Raton.
And so my job is not to worry about those people. I'll never convince them. They should take personal responsibility and care for their lives.
I don't care about those guys. Now, Mitt Romney goes on to say that he cares about independence in the middle class. Oh, that's interesting. So, Mitt, who do you think's in the middle class? Let's find out.
So no one can say my plan is going to raise taxes on middle-income people because principle number one is keep the burden down on middle-income taxpayers.
$100,000 middle-income?
Well, no, middle-income is $200,000 to $250,000 and less. So,
wow. Wrong again, Bob. Middle-income is nowhere near $200,000 or $250,000. Look at how warped this guy's perception is. You want to know what the actual median income in this country is? $50,054. Yeah, that would only be 4 to 5 times less than what Mitt Romney thinks it is. This man is running for president. He has unmitigated gall to run to represent all of us. When he says, I don't give a damn about 47% of you. I only care about the middle class who I think is making $200,000 to $250,000. Now, you want to know what percentage of Americans are actually in that category? Only 4.2%. So Mitt Romney says he cares about the middle class. The middle class is people making over $200,000. Forget the 250. We're being incredibly fair to him, just taking the 200,000 number. There's only 4.2% of the population among the people he says he cares about. 4.2%. I mean, this guy is a caricature of a Republican candidate. Mr. Moneybags, who has no idea about what you're going through in the country, thinks middle class is $250,000 a year, who says, he's basically saying, I don't represent the top 1%. Am I not merciful? I will represent the top 4%.
Hi, this is Cenk Uygur. To see more of the Young Turks, go to current.com/getcurrent to make sure you get Current TV.
All right, again, or I should say again, shouting out the Oracle. Actually, I think we have a caller as well. Caller, hold on just 1 second. I want to play a quick snippet of part two. I'm not going to play the whole thing. Bear with me, Captain, as well. I want to play a little bit more, part two of Cenk talking about this Romney thing. Now, I do want to say one thing before I go to this clip, that and this is in deference to Romney. All politicians, or many successful ones, do pander according to the audience that they are in front of. Let me repeat that. Many successful politicians do pander in accordance to the audience that they're in front of. He was speaking to moneyed white males that would want to hear this kind of message. If he were to speak before the Jewish community, if he were to speak to the black community, which he has, he's going to say certain things, or he's going to at least try to make an appeal to the community or to the audience that he's speaking to. So in this sense, this is exactly what he did, and actually, this is a mantra on that's very much to the right, very much to those who are on the right, hard right, that is. He's speaking to his base. Now, where he failed on this, Captain, where he failed is we are living in different times, okay? There's no such thing as privacy, none. We're going to talk about this robotic mosquito in a moment. So you really, this mosquito-sized drone that may or may not be a reality, you just cannot hide anymore. It's getting more and more difficult to spin your type of truth, because you have camera phones, you have all kinds of spy equipment, bloggers. You know, it's just too difficult to say something publicly and it be truly hidden. There's somebody watching you. No matter what you do, somebody sees something. Cameras or telescopic lenses, that's why these celebrities are half crazy. You know, Kristen Stewart tried to sneak away for a moment of private time in a parking car garage and she gets caught hugging up on some guy, hugging up on a director. I mean, you just can't get away with anything. So the reality is that technology is forcing, and really, you know, this might be a good thing, is forcing politicians to give a consistent message. Whatever you said to those of Jewish descent has to apply to those of African descent, to those to the Latino community. Whatever you're saying, no special customized messages. He didn't get the memo on that, or should I say, to update it, he didn't get the email on that, or the text message, that you cannot have different messages for different people and expect to get away with it. So he is suffering for something that people pretty much, a certain segment, pretty much understood. Well, listen, there are a lot of freeloaders. My problem is, why 47%? If he had said we're dealing with 10% of the population or 20% of the population who are true freeloaders who really do not want to work and take personal responsibility, I think many would have been able to ride with that. But when you say half the population and you're saying that you're going to write them off, he also talked about the Middle East. He said that, you know, there's no helping these people. They're crazy. You know what? You can't say it out loud. You can't say it out loud. As the president, you have to make attempts. You can't just write people off. I mean, this is – we'll see what happens in November. We will see. Anyway, I'm going to play a few moments of part two from the Young Turks, and then we're going to answer the phone. Let's get into this. One moment. This is Young Turks for about a minute or two. Hold on.
Well, obviously, Mitt Romney is in big, big trouble. I'm hurt, Don. That's where we're at now. No. 2 months before the election, we're talking about whether it's already over. I've been telling you about body blow. Like every rib on his right side is broken, his kidneys lacerated, his liver's collapsed. His lung is collapsed, his liver has exploded. He's got serious internal damage. And he's already leaning in like this, right? And then this video with the 47%, I don't give a damn about half the country. Bam! Unheard of. No, this is bad. Before this video, here's S.E. Cupp, conservative on MSNBC, saying, wait, this election isn't over yet. It isn't even over yet. Watch.
I have a message for my conservative colleagues who seem to be engaging in this circular firing squad. Calm down. Let's chill out a little bit. This is not the end of the party as we know it. We will not be shutting down the party if Romney does not win. And a couple bad weeks on the campaign trail, first of all, are sort of part and soul of every campaign.
Already they're talking about when Romney doesn't win. And that was before the disaster of the 47% tape that we got from Boca Raton, where he's telling his rich donors, 47%, who cares about those guys? I'm not going to give a damn about those guys. You know, they are the bums. Okay, now, here comes the pain. After the tapes come out, here comes Joe Scarborough, who is as conservative as it gets. Watch.
What disturbs me and disconnects me from that candidate is the fact I believe conservative policies help 100% of Americans. I don't believe it helps the 1%. I really do believe that you don't help the waiters and waitresses that want to get a better job by raising taxes on job creators. I don't look at those 47% as victims. I look at them as people that I want to help. That's not the Romney that we're seeing there. That's not the conservative. That does sound like a plutocrat. That does sound like Thurston Howell III.
I would argue.
Victims? Lazy? I mean, come on.
Thurston Howell III, a plutocrat. Here comes more, Chris.
All right. It's a rather lengthy clip, Captain. This guy's getting clowned. He's getting clowned. He's even getting clowned by some within his own party. And to tell you the truth, I've already zoned out of this thing, right? I've already moved on. I don't know how you feel, but this right here is such a misstep to me. I really don't want to hear anything else that he has to say. I mean, I'll try to look at the debates, but I've already resolved myself to just – I want this to be over with. I just don't see it. I don't see it. I see our caller has dropped. Again, folks, feel free to give us a buzz. It's all right. The water is warm, 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Captain, what's going on? He's getting called Thurston Howell now. Lovey. I mean, come on. That's my impersonation of I forgot the actor's name, too. Anyway, come on. What are we dealing with here?
Well, you give a person enough rope, sometimes they hang themselves. Sometimes they don't hang themselves, but in this case, he's hanging himself. That's what's going on. And these media outlets, he's given them a lot to talk about, especially these liberal media outlets, such as what we just heard. He's given them a lot to talk about, a lot to lick their lips. The piranha are in the water, taking their little bites and letting him just bleed out slowly, slowly. Let's see what happens in 6 to 7 weeks. Maybe he can get stitched up, you know. They can give him a couple of transfusions of blood to get all the blood back in him that he lost, type O blood. Maybe that can happen. I don't think so. As I said 6 months ago, Obama's going to win this thing. He's going to win it. That's just how I feel. Maybe Romney wins, but I don't think so. I just don't think so. You know, and that's just how I feel about it. I think this is just the steps that we just have to go down. This is just window dressing. This is just that. A good play that we're watching play out right now, Broadway play. It's like it's almost decided. And so we just have to do the diplomatic thing at this given point because Obama has already won the presidency. Now we just need time to catch up to that point. That's it. That's just how I feel about it. It's been decided already. Obama.
I think it pretty much has. I mean, you know, once you see this horror show, you know, last week, matter of fact, even last week, I still didn't resolve myself to not wanting to hear anything else that Romney had to say. And that was a big faux pas. You know, coming out early during this, you know, when the proper thing and the presidential thing to do would be to not position yourself for a political jab. You know, with what happened in Libya, instead of doing that, he went to look. He messed up. You know, he's siding with the rebels. Wait a minute, the ambassador to Libya died. He was killed. There were injuries. You know, the embassy was attacked. You have to talk about that. He bypassed all of that to talk about Obama screwing up when he did not screw up. So, I mean, that was a grave misstep at that point. But then now we're talking about this secret tape from a few months ago about how you really feel, that you're just writing off all these people. So that's one thing about conservatives that we have to acknowledge. And Democrats to a certain degree as well. You can have your beliefs, but your beliefs do have to operate in a way to help everyone. If you're going to be conservative, have an answer from a conservative perspective to help black folk, brown folk, Asian folk, white folk, everyone, gays, straights, whatever. You just can't have it where you have a segmented style of politics. One thing, and I'm not a liberal, but one thing I can say that was very admiring of the Democratic National Convention a few weeks ago was that everyone was in attendance. Everyone was there. You can't have a smattering of Latin folk, a smattering of Asians, a smattering of women, a smattering of black folk, and people to take you seriously. They're going to have to learn how to adapt demographically in order to be viable as the years go on. Whether they want to deal with this reality or not, this country is browning up. It is darkening up. And if you're going to be relevant, you're going to have to figure out a way to adapt to that. Be like water, my friend, as Bruce Lee says. We play that clip quite a bit. Be like water, my friend. It means water adapts. You put it in a cup, it becomes a cup. I mean, this is not rocket science. So I've already pretty much closed, you know, it's weird to feel this way, but I just don't care anymore. I'm pretty much done with it. I was caring about it. But once he did this, if they were to vote him in, then, you know, it would go by my suspicions that it's all about race at some point, because this man has shown himself not to really have, what's the word of the day, Captain? The comportment to be president of the United States. It's not going to happen. Now, I see a listener in the chat room, cheap seats. And he says, I think he's riffing on what I said about black music not having pride. Current black music, I don't see has black pride. Then he says, that's by design, player. They not going to promote black pride in music. Come on, brother, you better know than that. All right. Then he says, what is this conservative label you promote? Tell your listeners they don't have enough money to pick the president. Okay. I don't quite know what he means by the last part, but the conservative label that I promote. Listen, it's not so much just that I promote a conservative label here, cheap seats. What I'm promoting is an alternative black cultural standard. Right now, there seems to be an overemphasis on a ghetto-centric type of black culture as the only culture there is. There are 100 different cultural black styles. And right now, if you see hip-hop, what is that show that's out of Atlanta, Captain?
Love and Hip-Hop. Oh, Love and Hip-Hop, yes.
Love and Hip-Hop. Basketball Wives and No One's Married, Atlanta, Real Housewives of Atlanta, the countless court shows, the countless talk shows, the countless radio shows, everyone's either a minstrel or promoting ghetto-centric behavior, whether it's media takeout, gossip, there's a whole ghetto-centric industry. Pardon me. So when I use terms like lower tier, that's what I'm talking about. Lower tier also references poor white trash, PWT. I mean, it's a standard. It's not the only standard, but for whatever reason, when it comes to people of color, that's the standard that you get. You should be getting a whole myriad of imagery for black folk. So when you come to AfroNerd, you're going to get a black conservative message. You're going to get a black independent message. You're going to get Afropunk, black rock, progressive hip-hop, everything that is not the stereotype. The world must know that we're not a monolithic, sir. So I assume you're new to AfroNerd, so this is why I'm kind of explaining this. And on occasion, I realize you have new listeners, I will explain what I mean when I say lower tier. There's such a thing as lower tier. You have Leroy, you have Robert, you have Jason, and then you have Shaquan, Starkeisha, Monifa. It's different types of black folk. It's the way it is. You know, hey, Captain, am I lying?
No, you're right. You're right.
No, I don't do the brother thing. I stopped doing it. Too many killings. Too many babies being shot through the mouth. Too many grandmothers being knocked down. The gangs are coming out here and killing us. I can't ride with that anymore. I don't want to ride. I'm on the – we're from the Dr. William H. Cosby School of Thought, sir. That's what you're listening to right now. Dr. Cosby came out a few years ago, kicked it, hurt some folks. He exposed your dirty laundry, and now some of you are shook. But it is what it is. All right. Speaking of which, Captain, let's go to the next topic. I want to go to you know what? I'm going to play another Jammy Jam. And then when we get back, I want to talk about another Jammy Jam that's of a political nature. Actually, the great Randy Newman, from those who know of the song Short People, from many years ago. He's a composer. He is a songwriter, a musician, very well known. And he's known for having an acerbic wit to his song. So, again, he had a song many years ago called short people. Now, he has a song called I'm Dreaming. I'm Dreaming of a White President. And, well, you know, we'll play that in a moment. We'll play that in a moment. I want to play a new song by Andre Simone. Now, I'm going back a bit. Actually, Mr. Simone was scheduling an interview with him. He grew up with Prince. Andre Simone is a musician, a stellar musician within his own right, very popular in the early 80s, mid-80s, had some hits, was a producer for Jody Watley, as well as his her love interest for a minute. So there's a lot to talk about. And he was one of the architects, of the Minneapolis sound. So he is to be respected, and we're working on getting him in if I can find a song. Okay, you know what? Jeez. Why can't I find it? I know I uploaded it, Captain. Let's see. You know what? I'm going to have to play that at a different... Let me try one more thing here. Live radio, folks. This does happen. While I'm getting his record, Captain, what are your thoughts on... I mean, I'm kind of reacquainting this listener to the whole Afro nerd meme, our personal meme, our trope. We have a trope, too. Captain.
Yes, sir.
Now, I was saying, while I'm finding this record, what are your thoughts on it? Because I'm, you know what, forget it. I found it. All right. Don't worry. All right, folks, again, legendary bassist, from the revolution, the first revolution with Prince, Andre Simone, America. We'll be back in a few moments. Let's groove.
right, once again, one of the architects of the Minneapolis sound, he is to be respected, iconic bassist, musician, Andre Simone, back in full effect. Back in full effect. I'm glad to hear this man is still around doing his thing. America, which is actually available through the Bandcamp website, and it's only a dollar for that particular song, and it's an homage of Barack Obama. So it was definitely for the president, America. All right, actually, we have a caller. Let's go to the call, to the line. Let's go to the line, see what's up, and let's just get into it. Caller, welcome to Afroner. Tell us who you are and where you're calling from, 661.
Yeah, this is Cheap Seats. This is Brainiac with Cheap Seats. I'm calling from the Motor City, Detroit, Michigan.
All right.
Yeah, like I was just calling to comment on something. I was talking to you through the chat room, and I had posed a question about what was your meaning of like conservatism or whatever. Now, when you mention conservatives, does that mean that you support the Republican or Democrat? You know, well, I guess if you say conservative, you support like the right wing political agenda or what? That's what I was calling about. And also, when you said like low tier, when you were saying low tier, as in you were running off some like the Afrocentric like names or whatever, like Shaniqua, I guess some of the names of typical black ghetto American type name, but you sort of come across, you have like an arrogant or like pompous tone in like your in what you say, and so like I was just calling to have you speak your mind and set me straight. But I mean, is there some of the stuff that you were saying? I mean, I understand that you want to say, well, we promote a show that's not your typical, you don't play rap or whatever, so you try to expand people's perception of what they think a typical black African American is or what they do or what they listen to. Now, I'm sort of like, old school. I'm in my early 40s. So, when I came up, I was brought up in like, the Catholic church. I went to Catholic school. And so, I was sort of like, I didn't listen to a typical, rap. I mean, I grew up with Run DMC or whatever. But then again, when I was in grade school, I used to listen to, the rock, soft rock. I listened to The Cure. I had like a eclectic, musical like taste or whatever. So I was just pretty much trying to call in and get your take on certain things or whatever.
Okay, you gave a lot there. I'll try. We only got about 11 minutes remaining, but I'll try to be as succinct as I can. As far as conservatism, well, first of all, I voted for Barack Obama, and Barack Obama did use the term Obamican. I thought that he would be a centrist, and I perceive him to be a centrist, just as Bill Clinton is a centrist. When you're talking about politics, you're talking about a range. I don't consider myself a hard right-wing Republican. Matter of fact, they're even using the term modern Republican. If you think of someone like Nixon, and Nixon was a crook, let's not be coy. He was a crook. However, Nixon developed affirmative action. You follow what I'm saying? The history of black politics is rooted in the Republican Party. But we have to get some knowledge here as to exactly. It's more of a recent time as far as black folk becoming Democratic. It wasn't always this way. I put out the need to be some of us should look at conservatism only because it's not a good look for us to be 90-95% Democratic. Because if you always vote that way, if you don't have these politicians work for your vote, they don't have to work for you. It's like being in an abusive relationship.
Yeah, but
if a woman,
I don't mean to cut you off, but the thing is that, I mean, the presidency is not elected by the popular vote. It's elected by the Electoral College. Now, do you know of any, do you know who represents your Electoral College vote? I don't think anyone does. I mean, I know I don't. I mean, I guess if you were to do some extensive research, you can maybe come up with the person that does or whatever. But I mean, I think that it's that's, you know, constructed by designs that we don't know who actually, you know, when they already, you know, our president, the president that they're going to elect in November, that's been decided years and years ago. The American people, regular folks like you and me, we don't have the money or the influence to pick the president, okay? So, I mean, all of this is just like you stated earlier, it's just a show, a facade, just for something for the media and I guess in sheep for the sheeple folk to just be entertained with, okay? We don't pick the president.
Well, listen, what you're saying, I've heard that argument before, and there's folks that are trying to dismantle the Electoral College. It dates back two centuries, and it was developed by our forefathers because they were fearful of the potential of mob rule. You know, in other words, you have to have electorates to decide a president, because if you have, you know, you don't want to elect a madman or be privy to mob rule. So that's why you have the Electoral College. But many people, like you say, that there's a popular vote, there's an electoral vote, the popular vote. You know, Gore had the popular vote in 2000, but it didn't really seem to make that much of a difference at the end of the day. But as far as respect is concerned, black folk died for the right to vote. So you have to respect what they sacrificed in this country. You just can't be dismissive when folks literally put their lives on the line and lost their lives with being able to vote. And we're led to assume that, you know, presidencies have been swayed by a smaller number of votes. I hear what you're saying, but I don't think it's something to be just totally disregarded. And also, as far as being voting a certain way, you can vote a certain way nationally and another way locally. Like, I will vote for Barack Obama nationally. But locally, which is where a lot of politics really happens on a local level, you might want to consider a more of a conservative or more of a Republican slant. You don't have to be pigeon. There's this belief that if you belong to a party, that you have to be lockstep with that party. I'm not a sycophant. I'm going to vote for whoever – people really vote who they want to vote for. I'm not the person that goes into the voting booth and just clicks on Republican all the way through. I'm not going to do that. But I do think that many black folk are wedded to the Democratic Party out of some sense of cultural loyalty, whereas other folk – because we can talk about the presidency, but even on a presidential level, these people are pandering to some people for some reason, based on who they think represents their constituency. So the Latin community, who are far from monolithic, just as we are not monolithic, but we're perceived that way. The Latin community are not monolithic, and the Republican Party will have to deal with Latin folk on some level, because there is a contingent of Latin people who do vote Republican. They don't do it in the 90 percentile range. If you do it, you have to learn how to leverage your vote. That's all I'm saying. That's why when we promote Republican or even an independent mindset, it's about being shrewd. What do the Democrats have to do for you if at all times, no matter what happens, you're going to vote for me anyway? It doesn't do anything.
It just makes sense. I'm done with both of them because, you know, I realized, however, you know, my time being on earth, that right wing, left wing, they're still the same dirty bird, okay? You're not going to get no change. You're not going to get change out of the Republican or Democrat because they don't know what change is. Change is oblivious to them. They don't know what change is. A politician is groomed to be a politician. As long as you have lobbyists buying their votes or whatever, then, you know, they're not out for the good or the welfare of the American people. Okay?
Right, listen, you're right on that. I will agree with you that on the left side or on the right side, you're talking about a corporatized government. That is true. But at the same time, you have to be in it. If we're not involved in any of this stuff, if we're not visibly in the Republican Party, at least physically there in some degree of numbers, then you can't sit back and complain. You have to be involved and not doing anything. Or if anything, hey, develop a third-party stance. I'm for that too.
I know you're not that naive. Come on now. They don't have enough money. I mean, if you think about it, Ron Paul, he said a lot of, I mean, he has a lot of, you know, I like a lot of what Ron Paul had to say. And I mean, I think that if he was a Republican, he would get the nod over a Mitt Romney because, you know, Mitt Romney is just out of touch. But the thing is that if you place Barack Obama in office or whatever, and if he doesn't, I mean, he inherited the worst economy that I can remember, okay? But the thing is that he knows that, you know, there's going to be if you don't see a significant change in, like, the economy and the government that people, that the typical American people ever will be satisfied with, they're going to vilify him, and even more so because he doesn't look like him. He's a black man, okay? So the thing is that they know that, you know, the devil himself can run against Obama and get almost half of the vote, okay? So it's just we're all being played. That's all I'm saying. And, I mean, okay, if you all want to go through the theater and go going out and pulling the lever to make it seem that you did, you know, your American duty to vote or whatever, then that's fine. They want you to. You know, and that's perfectly fine. That's their right. But like I said, the race right now is so close, so they claim with these, you know, all these type of polls or whatever that, you know, we don't pick the president, man. The Zionists pick the president.
Well, listen, I'm pretty sure the captain we only got about 3 minutes. You're going to have to come back
right.
on Sunday. Sunday,
okay,
we're on Wednesdays and Sundays. But I'll say, we said a couple of things, though, and the captain will tell you this also. Is that I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you, but black folk are going to have to do some internal reworking to be able to adapt to be better prepared for whoever's in office. And I'm not a believer in putting your hands up and saying, oh, it's well, there's nothing you can do. Because there are some folk that are succeeding irrespective of who's in office. If you talk about the Asian folk, and I'm saying some because I don't like to label the entire race, but they have the perception of being a model minority. If they have that perception, it's based on a certain level of perceived preparedness. The Shaquans, Raekwons, Starkeishas, I don't get the sense of preparedness. Okay, our music doesn't reflect preparedness. So I could care less. I could give a damn of who's in office as long as we are prepared. So
exactly.
we're always going to be subject to the government because we believe that's the way you're supposed to come up. Homeboy
okay.
from China is not working that way. He's getting that degree. He's going to succeed whoever's in office. It doesn't matter to him.
Absolutely.
Captain.
Absolutely. That makes sense.
Listen,
well, I'm going to tune in again, like I said. I appreciate you taking my call, and I'll tune in again.
Sounds good. Sunday, 7 p.m. Appreciate it. All right, Captain, listen, we got about a minute. We're going to have to get on up out of here. Wow, 90 minutes go so quickly. Who would have thunk it? Captain, any closing remarks before we get on up out of here?
Good radio, good exchange right there. Good radio, good exchange. There you go.
Well, you know what? Let's go out on Randy Newman. We'll explain it on Sunday. Randy Newman dreaming of a white president. We'll be back on Sunday, 7 p.m.
George Washington was a white man. Adams and Jefferson, too. Abe Lincoln was a white man, probably. And William McKinley, the whitest of them all, shot down by an immigrant in Buffalo. And a star fell out of heaven. I'm dreaming of a white president, just like the ones we've always had. A real live white man who knows the score, how to handle money or start a war. Wouldn't even have to tell me what we were fighting for. He'd be the right man if he were everybody. I'm dreaming of a white president, someone whom we can understand, someone who knows where we're coming from, and that the law of the jungles, not the law of this land. Deepest, darkest Africa, 1903,
Little boy says, Daddy, I just discovered relativity. Big eclipse is coming, and I'll prove it. Wait and see. You better eclipse yourself out of here, son. Find yourself a tree. There's a lion in the front yard, and he knows he won't catch me. But how many little Albert Einsteins cut down while in their prime? How many little Ronald Reagans gobbled up before their time? I don't believe in evolution, but it does occur to me. What if little William Howard Taft had to face a lion, or God forbid, climb a tree? Where would this country be? I'm dreaming. Boo-boo-boom, boo-boo-boom. Things have never been this bad. So it won't run 110 seconds flat. So it won't have a pretty jump shot or be an Olympic acrobat. So it won't know much about global warming. That really where you're at. You won't be the brightest, perhaps, but he'll be the whitest, and I'll vote for that. Whiter than this, yes. Whiter than this, yes. Whiter than this, yes. Whiter than this, oh yeah.